You're listening to Opacity, a podcast about working in design. Morning, Craig. How are you doing?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing great today. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Yeah. Well, actually, the weather's good and it's a nice crisp morning in autumn or fall. I suppose we're in Ireland, so we've just gone into lockdown level 5.
Yeah.
So basically, things are going to get a lot more restricted. So
yeah.
Going to be enjoying the interior of my home a bit more.
To be honest, I've been enjoying the interior of our home since March 15th or whatever.
So, yeah, so
like,
actually.
My lifestyle changes very minimally based on this situation.
I like to make it sound like I'm very interesting, but I just like to stay in lots and just do things like draw and play guitar and solitary things.
Yeah. It's weird how this many months have passed of us being at home and we haven't gone crazy. Different for everybody. My personal experience is I haven't lost touch with reality or lost my sort of sanity in it. And, before we would think after, a week at home, 2 weeks at home, no, I couldn't imagine doing that. But now here it is this many months and, we're doing okay.
It actually really made me think about it, my personality and kind of what I enjoy. Mm. I know we kind of touched on this, I think it was with the episode with Aoife about extroverts and introverts and ambiverts, people who are a bit of both. And it did kind of make me realize more, I think I'm more of an introvert. I've got some extrovert type qualities, but I think 90% of the time I feel more introverted. I'm happy kind of just in my own space thinking. I do a lot of talking, but when I'm actually, if I had to divide it up, maybe 80-20, maybe introvert and 20% extrovert. Because I find I do enjoy making company with people and having a laugh and talking with them and stuff, but it is quite tiring. It kind of takes my energy, as opposed to giving me energy.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
I've always been someone who's considered myself an introvert. I think it's part of my kind of identity is being introverted. But more so, I'm just kind of usually just a quiet person. That would be the number one comment anybody would make about me is Craig's quiet.
Brooding, thoughtful.
It's sort of like a tool sometimes, because sometimes I find, being silent can sort of put other people on edge because they don't know what you're thinking because you're not saying it. So they assume that you have you're on this higher plane, where in fact you're just I don't have anything to say, so I'm not gonna say.
Oh, you can't say that. You gotta keep the level of mystique, if you're sitting there brooding and just kind of making subtle suggestions okay, and you're thinking, and you might have a pen and a paper in your hand and you're kind of pondering, and maybe you're rubbing your chin like the thinker, that statue by Rodin. That's it. No, but it's a good point, actually. I know that wasn't what we're going to talk about today, but I do think there's something in that. I know we've mentioned it a little bit in the past around having the Zoom issues of not understanding when people need to talk and stuff. But there is certainly a thing around if you are a more extroverted person, or if you're comfortable speaking out loud, loudly in groups of people, in workshops and even just in life, people like that tend to find things easier.
For sure.
From all aspects, even when it comes to just having confidence. I think confidence is a big thing. Having the confidence to even just approach someone and ask for their number or strike up a conversation. If you're very confident in doing that, then you'll have less issues, where you could be just in your own head stewing about it and getting nowhere.
I think overcoming that, for me, this sort of quietness, because I'm not sure if all my colleagues now would describe me as quiet. I think I do, I'm a bit more outspoken. And I try to be, and it's sort of intentional to do that because I think it's important quality, especially for designers, to always be confident to say what you think and to put that out there, even if it's not right,
Yeah, definitely. Especially with kind of the design industry that we're in, a lot of the work that we do is kind of it's the thinking about things, and it's mulling over things and it's asking the right questions and that kind of stuff. It's not really always a visual output. I mean, that comes at the end, but if you're doing an interview, and we talked about interviews in the past, if someone's getting to do an exercise or do a whiteboard session or something like that, and they might even get a group of people in there to ask you questions, this is what they're looking for. They want to see how you think, how you communicate your ideas, if someone challenges you, how you react to that and that kind of thing. And if you are one of those people who just need more time to digest things, which totally understand as well, I think in a way you're at a disadvantage, because you could be absolutely the best person for the job, but because you haven't, you know, filled them with confidence or whatever, or just kind of like left a really strong impression of like, wow, that person had a lot to say about that thing. It could be just the surface level thing that the other person in the next interview did, was just like, oh, well, I'd probably think about this and X, Y, and Z, and I'm doing lots of talking. Whereas the other person's like thinking, trying to mull it over. Yes, it's a real kind of disadvantage, even though in the long term, it's probably an advantage to be able to think deeper on things and mull them over for longer and come with the right solution as opposed to the obvious solution that's just there on the tip of the tongue.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's an interesting topic on its own. Even the interview scenario, when you mentioned interviews, I was thinking, you know, sometimes I would feel going into interviews that I'm sort of playing a role in like in a theater production here. Like I'm in the role of, of applicant, and like I sort of step outside of my normal kind of behavior to put on that show. Like essentially like interviews are kind of putting on a show, right? Like you're showing work and you're responding, you're fielding questions. Like these aren't things that happen in normal scenarios. So you kind of have to like, you know, I would kind of go into the bathroom before an interview and sort of like get in the zone, you know, do your power postures or whatever, you know.
Oh, do you? You do the power stance.
I don't know if I actually did that. I think long ago, maybe I probably watched some TED talk about the one about whatever, however you sit or whatever kind of, you know, infuses confidence in you. I think I probably did that at some point in my life.
Where you're like, you're the best, Craig. You're the best.
but it is sort of like playing. It's the same thing everywhere. Like no matter where we are, we're always playing different roles, which then, you know, makes you question who are you really.
This is a good question. I do think you're right. You are kind of playing a role, and I think even the thing about interviews as well in that particular scenario is that you can get really good at those by just kind of practicing them. If you had a kind of a spread of like five different interview type scenarios from different companies, and maybe you went and did these and you failed, right? But you have the scenario now, so you can just practice it over and over again. And then if you go into the sixth interview, if someone throws something at you that you've basically seen, you've experienced in one of the last ones, and you've been kind of actively and kind of, you know, trying to work on that area, well, then you're at an advantage, right? So you can almost like just check the boxes. You know, you can just be prepared and have the box checked. Mm-hmm. And just because you've done kind of almost more like rote learning, and you can give the impression that it's kind of like a very natural response, but you could have been just like cramming for this thing.
Yeah. I don't know. And this makes me think, and to, it kind of does sort of bring us into the topic of today, but it kind of reminds me of this whole question of like, what do you want? I did find myself in past job hunts, you know, because like obviously within design, like there's a lot of paths you can take. There's specializations, there's more kind of generalist roles. There's, you know, big, huge enterprise or big, huge company versus, you know, tiny nascent startup kind of and everything in between. Like there's so much variation, and it's like, well what do I want? Like, what do I want out of this next position? This very seamlessly transitioned into our topic of today, which is like this whole approach to career and life about calculated decisions versus sort of serendipity and openness to what comes. And not that we all sit on opposing ends of this always, but that sort of spectrum exists, and it's something I think about.
It is. I'm always very interested when we talk to people, and they have a very they appear to have a very clear idea of where they want to go, and they, you know, especially if they said like, oh no, I knew where I wanted to do a long time ago, and everything that I've been doing is always in with the goal of getting to that point. That always seems very strange to me. Like, it's not that it's wrong, it just doesn't seem like, maybe it's my personality type that I feel like if we have on one end of the spectrum the kind of like very intentional, you know, uber kind of like focused, laser focused on what they want, and the other one is kind of more like, you know, feeling your way through it, I suppose, or I won't say disorganized, but I'd probably be somewhere in the middle. Like, I'm not exactly sure. I think I had a good kind of general idea of where I wanted to go, you know, going to college and stuff like that. To my mind, with new experiences, I have new information, so I can kind of like almost feel my way through my career in a way, you know, like if I gravitate towards, as I gain more experiences and see and come across new kind of challenges and stuff in work, I get an idea all the time of what I want to do. And I think you mentioned it in a past episode, where it's kind of like, is it just about the journey? And I kind of like that. Like, I do like the idea of like, I'm on a journey, it feels good. I'm satisfied. Do I have an absolute like laser focused end goal in mind? I don't think so. You know, I think I'm broadly going in the right direction and learning new things all the time. But I'm not someone who kind of like sits down and has like a vision, you know, a vision chart or something like that. That's kind of like, right, I'm going to be the CEO of some. I don't think I ever want to be CEO, but you know, like as in laser focused, this is my thing. I think I'm much more kind of feeling my way there, and it's a bit more intuitive for me.
Yeah. Yeah, to me, it just keeps coming back to this, like, what do you want? And I think, you know, what do you want can be a very specific thing that you want to achieve. Like, I want to be the chief design officer for a Fortune 500 company doing this, that, and the other thing. And like, I want to be supported by my mentors. I want to have a team that is flourishing. Like, you can have a very specific sort of thing you want to hit. And then calculate your path to get there. Personally, that's not too interesting for me. Like, it doesn't feel like an interesting kind of approach, but I think some people definitely kind of lean that way. But also, I think what you want can be like just a general, like a feeling or an idea, or like it could be a very kind of vague thing. And then probably those vague things lead to kind of vague plans to get there. I keep thinking back to when I was younger, you know, I was 19. I had done a year of college back home studying studio art, drawing and painting. That was its own uncalculated decision to go off and start my degree in studio art. And then I made a bunch worse, well, not worse, a much less calculated decision to go study music in India. Like that had no... Like,
that's a huge decision. Like that's like,
but there was zero calc. Like there was, I think back to that moment, you know, because I remember I had a professor teaching like logic or something in college, and I had some conversation with him, and I mentioned, you know, I had this interest in going to India and studying music and whatever, and he encouraged me to do it, and like from that night, my perspective changed, and like, oh, somebody like actually is saying I should do this, sort of. Took permission then to then go do it. But like there was no calculation. Like nobody said anything to me, but like, Greg, are you sure you wanna go do this? Like
nobody tried to stop you.
Nobody tried to stop me. Why did nobody say anything? No, but I'm glad they didn't. But like, you know, there was zero calculation. Like there was no career ambition there. Like it was literally my vague thing of what I wanted was I wanted to do this kind of thing that sort of wanted to sort of follow my heart or my interest at the moment, and like not think at all about all the sort of immediate struggles of doing that as like a 19-year-old, you know, moving to India from the US, having never traveled before, and then all the struggles that would come after that of, you know, trying to make a career when you have, you know, a degree from India in music, like it's in and moving into the design industry. Like anyway, so purely uncalculated, but like looking back, it was interesting. Like it was a good decision just because it was interesting and different.
Interesting is the word that came to mind when you were saying that. That is like, like how different is that to most people's lives? Most people I wouldn't probably do that as something as radical as that, as like move across the world and do something like that, unless I felt compelled to do it, I suppose. But like, so I totally commend you on that. That's really cool, especially to do it when you're younger, because it could have defined your career, and I'm sure it had a big impact on all decisions you've made since and formed who you are now as a person. But like, it's best to kind of, you know, if you have itches like that at a younger age, just scratch them, you know, and then you kind of go, okay, that's done. Yeah. I'm glad I did that now, as opposed to, you know, towards the end of your career, looking back and you know, you could be saying, I always wanted to do that and I never did, you know? Yeah. So I commend you on that.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's like for anybody at like crossroads, like, you know, I think there's always something to be had for something to be said for just kind of following your gut a little bit and sort of going where, not always going where it makes the most sense, like on paper. Same thing like moving to Ireland. Like moving to Ireland for on paper made zero sense. Like, you know,
I'm taking a regard with that, Craig.
No, but I'm. But it's another thing of I'm happy we did it. All my dreams have been. I'm actually like really happy with the sort of well, we won't get into the pros and cons, but but unarguably it didn't make sense on paper. Like financially, it didn't make sense to uproot and move here.
Yeah,
you know, take salary cuts because you know wages are a little bit lower here. Like things like that. It didn't make sense logically or whatever. If I calculated it, and I would say no way, I'm moving there. But you know, it's been good. I'm happy I did. I never would have met you, Tom.
Well, that's reason enough. That's reason enough for the. That's cool. I totally agree with you. I think maybe some people just don't think that way. Maybe some people are just kind of like they like to plan things out and they think very, you know, totally left brained, maybe left side of the brain. But I think we have similarities, as in like
I've kind of done some.
Sorry,
is it left or right? Isn't left the creative side?
How is it? Whatever the creative side. No, left brain. Oh, I don't know, actually.
I thought left was creative and right was the analytical.
Okay. Anyway, creative side of the brain. But, like, you know, the more I kind of meet more people and kind of, you know, you get an idea of the different personalities. Actually, one time in work, we usually do kind of, like, get-togethers, like a kind of a team breakfast type thing maybe it's every 2 weeks or something like that. And a different person runs it each time. And one of the researchers that I work with, he decided to do the Myers-Briggs tests with the people that were there. So it's, I don't know, maybe it was like 10 or 12 of us at the time. And just like for fun. I know some companies do this, and I've heard of horror stories of them like using rankings and all this type of stuff. But this was just purely for fun, just as in, let's just do it all together here. Well, we're all here. And then just like plot it out on a chart, like where we all sit. Yeah. And it was kind of eye-opening because... I don't know, maybe you're like the only experience you have really is in your own head, right? So I think we all kind of imagine other people see the world in the same or similar way as we do, like think similarly, because it's quite hard to really, I know we can empathize in someone else, but it's really hard to like actually just change the way you to look at someone else and go, wow, they fundamentally think completely different to me. They're not intuitive. They like to plan everything out. They like logic, you know, all this type of stuff. But it was very interesting to see, like, so basically plotted it out and put it up on the wall. And we were all just kind of had a good laugh about it and kind of talked it through and saw it where we all kind of fell. And the designers definitely kind of had a similarity where they fell. I can't remember the different labels that they are now. I think my one is a mediator. But then you'd see some of the others, like one of the researchers, the guy who ran the thing, he was like more in a kind of an analytical domain. It was quite different to, say, me. Like so his characteristics would be quite different to the category I would fall into. And but it's just really interesting because then he kind of gave us an overview of like who generally kind of falls into these brackets and that kind of thing. And it turns out like the world was kind of built by certain type of people. Like there's kind of the creatives, and then there's like the people who actually get stuff done and build things generally fall into a certain category. I can't remember. I'm not doing this a good... I'm not really doing a good job telling the story, like all the details, but their skills don't transfer as well to interview situations maybe. So for example, they're very just practical and they wouldn't have the soft skills as much possibly, right? So come back around to that interview thing where we were talking about, you know, you'd interview someone, and as a designer, if you're interviewing a designer, right, you're kind of looking for certain things, and they're probably things that are similar to yourself as well. Like, you know, not how you look or anything like that, but like how you react. You know,
empathy. Maybe how you look. Like, there's a lot.
Cognitive bias. Like, yeah. So, absolutely. Actually, you're right. But even just like, you know, you're looking for a designer with like empathy and all these ticking the boxes of all these things that you've what we would deem to be a good quality, like, you know. So you could end up interviewing and getting a lot of people that fall into that type of bracket and might be great designers, but to fill out other roles, they might not have those exact skills to basically come across really well in an interview, as like maybe they come across as like kind of serious, or you know, you're kind of like, well, I kind of like to have a bit of fun with the people I work with, so I don't think that you know, I'm not getting a good vibe off them, but they could be absolutely brilliant, you know, at their job. Or even like, you know, on the autism spectrum or something, and like, you know, they could be absolutely brilliant minds, and for whatever reason, like some of the social skills and cues are not as in tune as everyone else, but they could be an absolutely brilliant member to your team, and as they have a disadvantage in that scenario.
I think there's probably some anxiety that comes with trying to basically see the future of your career, trying to see where it's going. Like, you know, Tom, do you know where you're going to be in 10 years, like career-wise or anything-wise? Like,
Generally, I think, you know, I generally somewhere in the ballpark of what I'm doing now. Maybe it'll change a bit, but I like being a doer. You know, I like being hands on, and I think one of the things with, you know, if you're aiming, like, where do you see your career ending? A lot of the time, it's like, you know, it's a senior role, and like, to my mind, that's fine if that's what you want. But like, the reason why I got into the design was to design things, you know. So I don't want, like, if me moving up a ladder or you know, going to this kind of role that I thought I would want, you know, maybe you said, like, I want to be the VP of design in the XYZ company or something, right? And I go along those paths. And then I actually start to realize that the more senior you get and the closer you get to that, you're actually moving quite away from design. It's more to do with strategy and, you know, a lot of just meetings and management and, you know, numbers. And it's actually like, I suppose it's still related to design. And if that's for you, great. Mm-hmm. I'm of the mindset that if I was like, if I did start feeling my way that towards there over the next couple of years, I'd probably move into a role that was a little bit closer. And then I would know, this isn't for me. I know some mm-hmm. people that have done that. Like, they move from even being a developer to being a manager and then realize, actually, I like being a developer, so I'm going to go back to being a developer. Yeah, so yeah. That's very much the way I think I would see it. Like, the way I feel now is different to the way I felt 5 years ago. It's way different to how I felt 5 years before that. And in 5 years' time, I've no idea how I'm going to feel. And maybe I'll move into a completely different role. Maybe I'll just be like, you know what? I've scratched all the kind of design execution related itches I have. Mm-hmm. Now I want to just move into strategy or, you know, or education mm-hmm. for designers or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So, like, at this moment, you can say, like, these are the bounds within which I see myself moving. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think an awareness of those things change. I mean, probably for many of us, they change all the time. Maybe some people, it's really laser focused and they're just kind of, they have that target and they want to hit it and they're just going to focus on that for their entire kind of career until they reach it. Yeah, for me, it's probably changing like too much because it's like, I think with each new experience, you sort of see different things. You either get exposed to something new that either you don't like or you do like, or maybe you don't like it, but you see the value of it, or you see like some, like, I don't like this path, but I can make more money that way, or I do like this path. I have to sacrifice some things, but I'm going to enjoy my day-to-day work better. Like, so all of those kind of things that but I feel like they come up all the time, right? They come up like at least, you know, at least a few times a year, they should be sort of shifting, or at least like, as you should always be learning. So they should always be sort of maturing and changing. And there's this thing that popped in my head a while ago about kind of living life like an art project and not like a math problem or a math equation. Like, so it's, and looking back on sort of my life, I would love to see some randomness and see some like just interesting things that happened along the way, even if it was hard. Like, honestly, like, things that are hard are more memorable and stick with us and and make life interesting. Like, those struggles are actually interesting. Like, they suck in the moment, but afterwards they're like, they can be good to look back on, right?
Yeah.
But also. Like, being okay, I think from the position of not being in the future looking back, but looking to the future, like, being okay with being wrong. Like, it's okay to make the wrong decision. So, like, you know, when you are trying to calculate what you want next or figure out what you want next, like, it doesn't need to be this like all consuming thing. Like, it's sort of, to me at least, it's kind of, what do you think is, what's like the most likely next thing that you'll enjoy or learn from? And like, go that way. If there's an opportunity, you know, take an opportunity if it presents itself, or if you are able to grab it. And then sort of, you learn in the process and then meander through the river of life.
Totally. Right? Yeah.
But it's like, it's okay not to know. It's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's okay not to know if like that decision point is stressing you out. Like, just relax a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I like you've used a lot of metaphors there that I like, but I think at the end there, it just makes an interesting story as well. Like, so as you say, like, think about when you're at retirement age, or, you know, if you have had grandkids at some stage and they're asking you about tells about your life, even that, oh, when I was 19, I went to move to India and learn music. They'd be like, what? You know, that's really interesting. And then what? Oh, well, then I moved to, you know, Ireland and met this fantastic guy called Tom, and we decided to do a podcast together. You changed my life. You know, all those things. And then I would assume for the rest of the chat with the kids, you'd be talking about me for most of the time.
Yeah.
No, but like, you know, that's just interesting. You're living an interesting life.
It's good, but it's, again, it's like what you want. Like I think with those, with randomized decisions or lack of calculation comes like some hardship. Like, you know, well, I can speak personally, right? Like making those decisions maybe have slowed the ability to sort of get settled in a place. It slows the ability to like save money to buy a house, all those things that people like to do, yeah. like because of those decisions that I think will hopefully, the idea that hopefully they'll pay their returns, you know, someday when I look back on my life. Yeah. But in the moment, it means like delaying some things because, you know, because you've chosen to restart a few times or to go to different countries or whatever.
Yeah.
Like it makes some of those like adult things kind of delayed. At least that's my experience.
Yeah. I think one thing I'd like to mention as well is that there's a, like having the freedom to do that, making those decisions, there's a kind of there's a privilege there as well.
100%. Like, you know, totally.
So, I mean, there's probably lots of people that are kind of like, that could be like, well, good for you. I couldn't do that. Like, I need to make ends meet or whatever. Yep. You know, there might be a different scenario. Not just your scenario, but like, you know, even my own. I mean, like, in Ireland, education is much more affordable than a lot of other places. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so like if I did my course in, say, the US, from what I understand, I'd be still paying back a lot of debt.
Oh yeah, no, and for most of your life, you'd be paying
I'm completely debt free. Yeah. Like, you know, so yeah. I was kind of debt free from day one, really. Like, you know, so that's not to rub it in from to the listeners or anything, but you know, depending on where you are, depending on your economic situations, socioeconomic mm-hmm. situations, it's kind of like. It's all well and good to say that, but like if you can follow your interests, there's a satisfaction in there in, you know, having a career mm-hmm. and doing work that you do feel like you enjoy. I mean, some people will be interested, you know, just for financial reasons. That's fine as well. Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't get into this industry for financial reasons. When I started out, my salary expectations were very, very low. Like it was more of a vocation for me, really. Like I was just like. Mm-hmm. I want to be happy with the work that I do. I had a job before that paid the bills, but it was lacking all of that. So I was like, I just want to be able to make enough money to pay the bills. But what mm-hmm. I really want is to be satisfied in the work that I'm doing. Like I'm spending mm-hmm. so much of my life doing work. Why can't I enjoy it in some way or another? And every day is not going to be perfect. Like, you know, it's going to be, you're going to have hard days. You're going to go question things over time. But in general, like I'm very privileged to enjoy the job I do, and I think we're lucky that in the industry that we are, that it's the salaries are pretty good and stuff. But if they weren't, that, as I said, like that probably wouldn't bear make any difference to my decisions to get here. Now it's all well and good in saying that if everything crashed and then my salary, you know, went way down, I'd have to rethink things. But mm-hmm. I was never expecting to be in a job that paid well. I was expecting in a job that I enjoyed.
Yeah. Yeah, talking to designers who are trying to get into the industry, it doesn't seem like money's really a driver. I know it wasn't really at least a conscious driver for me. But yeah, so it's an interesting thing. But one thing, I'm glad you called out the privilege, because this was something when I was thinking about this all, and like sort of the ability to make random decisions and sort of embrace the serendipity of whatever life brings it. Like there's 100% privilege that's at play there. Like you know being I think a white man, like you probably have a lot more ability to go that random route because opportunities will maybe be presented themselves, like they'll be easier to grab than someone's in a disadvantaged group. So like I think 100% like important to recognize that. And yeah, I think there is definitely a life benefit in going that way, and anybody I think can do that, but there's definitely like good to call that out and recognize the privilege at play.
Yeah, I suppose all you can do is you know, acknowledge it and try and pass on, you know, help others in any way you can. And I suppose like that's one of the reasons why we do the podcast as well. I mean, one, we enjoy it, I think, you know, mm-hmm. and it kind of keeps us thinking about things, and we have different perspectives on things a lot of the time as well, which is good. But like from my perspective, you know, just even just sharing some of the knowledge with people, and just like, you know, this is what we said when we set it up, like, you know, we want to kind of like lift the veil a little bit behind, you know, design industry and kind of the decisions that got us to where we are now. And I we kind of take a warts and all approach, I think, which like I'm happy with. I like doing that. I don't want to present ourselves as in like, you know, you know, very serious, very, very professional in quotation marks, you know, like, like we are professionals, obviously, but you don't have to be like solemn and serious all the time and totally laser focused. You can kind of feel your way through your career and, you know, just go good with good feelings on decision points or, on the journey.
Yeah, I think just probably maybe a final word from or final thought for me is just this. I think there is benefit in calculating kind of short term things. Well, this is again my kind of take on things. Calculation, if you know what you want, it's a very specific thing, and it's specifically like a short term thing. Like I want to get promoted or something, or I want to land a job. Like that's a bit specific, and being kind of laser focused on the things you need to do to get to that point to achieve that next thing that you want. I think calculation makes sense. Like if I approached if I wanted a promotion, I approached it through serendipity and through randomness. Like I wouldn't probably get the promotion because like it needs to be a bit calculated, you know, it needs to be planned out, right? Like, cause it's a specific goal. It's reliant on other people's perceptions. I can't just randomly wait for someone to come over and give me that promotion, right? Like it's the same thing with finding a job. Like maybe there's some randomness there, but still there should be a level of, I think, figure out what you want, and then figure out the steps to get there, and then just move, just start taking those steps.
You know, keep figuring out. So I think some of the stuff that I've done, especially recently in the last number of years, is like, you know, I kind of worked on the skill of design and the execution. Execution is important to me. Like I want to be able to keep those skills sharp. And obviously the thinking and stuff is very important to that, but I still want to be able to execute things and, you know, render things to basically facilitate the ideas that I have in my head. And but even things like, say, I kind of got interested in doing some, I kind of mulled around the idea of like educational related things. I don't want to be a teacher. I don't want to go and work in as a lecturer in a college or anything, but I have knowledge that I would like to share. And that kind of an opportunity came up about a year ago to do that kind of thing. So I was like, you know, this sounds like a good idea. So, cause it's kind of like, it was a shortish term engagement but it was a focused effort of getting that done. And I think I did an episode and I kind of burnt myself out from all the effort of it, but that on top of work and family and all. But, you know, even those decisions, like that was kind of an almost like an itch that I had. That was kind of like, that's not completely scratched or anything. Like, and in making that move, to do that, it wasn't a career change of trajectory. It's kind of just like, it was a slight veering that gave me an extra perspective. And now I have extra skills from that and more information now as well. So, you could be mulling over in the back of your mind, would I ever like to be a lecturer? Would I like to be, you know, and now I've got a little bit of a taste of that and kind of go, you know, I enjoy some of that stuff, but I don't think I would like to do that. I would like to continue on where I am, where I was going. But now I've got these extra skills or in this extra knowledge now.
Yep.
And the itches have been scratched as well. So I think those types of, for me, that's very much like I see these new opportunities and I kind of get interested in them and I get excited in them, for them. And then I will work for them. I will work to be able to go like, all right, okay, that looks interesting in the short to midterm. What do I need to do to make myself better to get to that point? And I think that's kind of how my career has gone along. And I think it'll probably continue that way. And it may over time, you know, with small little course corrections, I could be way off where I thought I would be in, you know, 10, 15 years time or whatever, or I could be still similar and maybe I do more teaching or maybe I do less teaching or, you know, that kind of thing. Anyway, I think for me, series of small changes and being intentional in that kind of way, but not like I know from day one, this is where I need to go. This is the flag that I need to be at, because anyone who thinks that way is a wizard to me.
Yeah, well, keep scratching the itches wherever they may be found.
Right, so where can people find you online?
Twitter, CP5446. That's probably the best place. How about yourself, Tom?
Yeah, on Twitter, I'm Tom C Design, and as usual on LinkedIn, Tom Cunningham. So a few people have reached out to me recently, so always happy to have a chat if I can. So thanks very much for listening. If you liked it, share it with your friends, your colleagues, anyone you think would be interested in hearing what we have to say. And take it easy.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.